Hi, my name is Sam.
And my name is Sam,
And
and
this
this is
is
Good
Good
You
You Therapy
Therapy Podcast.
Podcast. Okay, so as you just heard from our intro, we have someone new on the podcast and we have some changes coming up on the podcast. Obviously, it's been a really long time since I last posted, and I think the last time I posted, I talked about how I'm going to be posting more, and then I didn't. So, apologies to anyone who listened to that episode. I think the last semester of school and just practicum and internship really got to took up the time. And now to help with that time, the change to Good You podcast is that we'll be co-hosting with Sam. So now it is going to be Sam and Sam on Good You Therapy. And so Sam, can you introduce yourself?
Hello. So my name's Sam. So we have been talking about wanting to do a podcast and if we should do something different or just come back here. And we decided that like keeping the platform that Sam had already established was a good plan. But we went to school together
Yeah.
and now we've both graduated.
Yes.
Yeah, and so now we're both licensed professionals, kind
Yeah.
of. Provisionally licensed, and I think we just are coming together to try and like share some ideas, connect, and really just create a space to have mental health discussions.
Yeah. And thanks for agreeing to do this because obviously doing a podcast once a week or every other week is a commitment, and so I'm glad to be able to do it with you. And yeah, so Sam and I graduated in the same semester. We were in the same cohort, and I think we met each other maybe halfway through my program because you started a little before I did. And we met volunteering or being voluntold to help with a techniques class. And I always heard there was another Sam in the program, and you did too.
Yes, well, there's actually another Sam.
Who?
She graduated like a semester or two before me, so there
Okay.
was three of us.
Okay. So she must have just left when I was about starting.
Yeah,
Well,
I
so we had no idea who each other were for a while. And then after that, I feel like we just started getting classes together back to back. And what better than to have two Sams when whenever we'd have class together, I realized like how similar our values and views are and our view of mental health. So I think that this is going to be a great podcast and what is platform for us to this first episode is really just introductions, and let's talk about our licensing because you mentioned PLPC, and I started this podcast during, I think, before practicum. So now we're both in the real world of counseling. Let's talk about those changes and what the school process was like for both of us.
Yeah. So I definitely took a little bit longer in undergrad and in the program, about a year longer for both than most people do. But I applied like my last semester and we did interview day. And I think we had a different experience with that because your interview day was online, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. So I interviewed in the spring of 2019.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I had a really similar experience to the people who
Interview now. Yeah.
where we go in and like spend an entire like 8 hour day talking to the professors and students and doing activities and trying to just like showcase who we are and why we want to be there. It's nauseating. It's so scary.
Yeah, I imagined. I feel like being able to hide behind the screen was easier in a way because you really have to look at each screen versus a room of people. I don't know, standing out way more in person. So it was kind of a comfort doing it online, but I am jealous that you got to do it in person.
Yeah, it was really fun because this last semester you helped with interview day, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, and so getting to go and see everybody like go through the process again was like, whoa, you can really see the growth that's happened over these like 4 years. Yeah.
And so the reason I didn't volunteer for this last interview day is because Craig, who some may have listened to the episode where I was on with my husband, actually applied to the counseling program. And so he was at that interview day, which we just decided would probably be best if I wasn't there at the same time, you know. And so he went and did that. And at that day, actually, me and two of our cohorts went into Baton Rouge to get our
Fingerprinted.
fingerprints done.
Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah, I think the whole experience. I feel bad for other counseling programs in the state, truly. Because I don't know any that are so good as the one we went to. I don't think I ever mentioned on here. You know, I just think how amazing our program is, and I feel bad that other people, you know, don't like their professors or, you know, feel like they're not getting as much out of their program than I feel like we were able to get.
I definitely agree that we were super lucky in the staff that we have and the structure that we have, and that most of it's in person. I think you and I are really similar in that way of like being in person and being able to focus and connect is like what makes it a richer experience. And yeah, the staff that we have is amazing. And it, you know, they're all so different. So there's going to be the ones we connect with more and less, but just in general, like, it is a really, really wonderful program with wonderful professors, and I definitely wouldn't have wanted to go anywhere else.
Out of our whole program, would you be comfortable saying some of your favorite and your least favorite classes?
Yeah, so I have a super short attention span, so like research, being online, but I will say, like, I think for research, I had Dr. Khan, and she was so wonderful. I loved her. Her voice was so calming, though. I was like, oh, she was wonderful.
I hope she's doing well.
I know. If you hear this, Dr. Khan, we send you our love. So, like, research, assessment, the very like data-driven classes were not my fave, but they weren't my fave in undergrad. Like, it's just in general. My favorite.
I know.
So I had techniques, which is like our first, you take that the first semester or two, and it's just kind of an overview of like basic counseling skills. And I had Dr. Lehman, but he and Dr. Williams taught it together.
You had that class. Oh my God, please tell me what it was like.
It was amazing because Dr. Lehman is hilarious and he's so boisterous, but sometimes he gets off track, and Dr. Williams would pull him back. But also, I think together, Dr. Lehman brought out the silly in Dr. Williams. So the two of them together were so lively, and like you could not be engaged, you could not pay attention, you could not have fun. Like, I don't think anybody in my cohort walked out of that without just like a super rich experience. It was so awesome. And I don't think they do that anymore because the next semester is when COVID hit, and I don't think they've done it since then. And I will tell them all the time they need to like team back up because it was so good.
I loved that class. I think that was the first time you're able to see if this is something that resonates with you and feels like it's supposed to feel. And you start fighting those imposter syndrome demons all the time. Yeah.
That, like, as soon as you said, this is where you get to see, like, if this feels right. It's like, and this is where you see that it feels super wrong.
Yep. And then they're like, don't worry. And I'm like, but I'm worried.
And then by the end of the semester, you're, like, integrating that language into your daily life. And people are like,
you sound like a robot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they're like, don't therapize me. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny from the beginning of that semester to, like, the end of the program and how it just, you infuse your own style. And when you integrate it into your life, just the way you speak and the way that you attend to people and the questions you ask, like, when you integrate that into your life and infuse it with who you are and it becomes your own, like, I don't know. I think that there's this idea of, well, you can't be a therapist all the time. I've heard that. And it really frustrates me because, correct, I am not everybody's therapist, but the parts of me that I trained and cultivated with therapeutic culture, I guess, those parts can't just go hide in a box until it's time for session. And those parts also make my relationships richer, right? Like, that's what I've taken from this program is the personal growth and the the relationships that have built and grown and become these beautiful things because of what I've learned in this program.
Yeah, that's when we had our exit interview day, and the main parts I'm taking away is the individual growth that can't be copied or mocked. Like, yes, through your own individual counseling, can you create a lot of the changes over time? Yes, but this program felt like the biggest growth spurt with growing pains that really forced that growth. Like,
yes.
And it just can't be replicated. And I'm so grateful for it, truly.
The growing pains thing is funny to think about because the amount of, like, personal trauma that I experienced from the beginning to end in 4 years was, like, so much. You know, I lost my uncle, who was, like, a father to me. I lost my father, who I didn't really have a relationship with, and that was complicated. My goddaughter died of brain cancer. So, like, there's a bunch of other stuff, but, like, just these huge, monumental, life-changing losses that happened in the course of this growth spurt. And, like, how different each one was, a little bit separated, and so how different I handled each loss, how different my grief has grown through this, it's just been really amazing. And I think the coolest thing is all the personal experiences that we have when we're actually practicing with clients. Like, I don't know if you've experienced this, but it feels like there's always a parallel process happening. There's always, like, I'm going through something and figuring it out at the same time that I have a client or five that are all going through something similar.
Yeah. Every time I've been in so many situations where a client describes their current presenting issues that they're experiencing, and I'm like, retweet, like, same. And how I'm supposed to be there, be present, and attend with somebody who I can't figure out the same things. Mm-hmm. And how many times I've learned from sessions with others and been able to take away, you know, the same things that we're experiencing and learning in there. Also, I think this was really interesting, experiencing a level of, like, hypocrisy as a counselor.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just feel like I'm like, oh, this made me really reflect harder on what I'm saying in the session and what I'm doing outside of session.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me really take a step back and make some changes in my life that obviously I'm always going to catch those things. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's so difficult because a lot of times I think one of the hardest parts about being a counselor is a lot of times we know what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Big quotations, need to.
Yeah, she's putting up the.
But we know what we need to do. Well, we know what would make the situation better. We know what would increase our coping skills. We know what would do all that. And it's still hard. Mm-hmm. And I think that watching that happen in session when you're talking through something with a client, coming up with ways to like work on or overcome or navigate an obstacle with them. And then you're like, well, dang, I'm not doing that on my own. But then when they come back and they're like, I'm really struggling with this, I can be like, I get it. And like doing that is difficult. And then there's the inspiration from seeing them when they start working through it. And also the motivation of like, well, I want to like stand behind what I'm saying. And like, I want to be a model for this. Even if they don't know, I'm not going to tell them everything. But like, I want to model what I want for my clients and like creating harmony and peace and working on myself.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Like it made that, it put the mirror right in front of my face, I think. Mm. Yeah. Just like we're mirrors for our clients in a lot of ways where we just reflect what they're saying or, you know, reword, paraphrase, and they hear it themselves for the first time from somebody else. That happens a lot for us in there too. And I think, not that any client should ever be having this on their mind of, you know, oh, my therapist might be taking away or my counselor might be taking away something from our session. It's true, we're human, you know, and we're taking away growth through every type of communication and connection we make with people. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, part of the growing process. Yeah.
Oh, and I just want to say right now, if any clients are listening to this, not just mine, but just in general, if you're a client, like your therapist cares about you so much. Oh mm-hmm. my God. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's just because I'm still really new in this, mm-hmm. but I think part of it is just like who I am of like just deeply caring. I love these people.
Oh yeah.
Like I have so much care for my clients. And I've gotten better about not letting that take up too much space outside of session. Because when I first started.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. To be able to clock out, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. I think there's that misconception that, you know, you only care because you're being paid to care, mm-hmm. right? And don't get me wrong. There are going to be counselors or professionals in any field that are not, you know, perfectly fit and unfortunately might fall under that category. Mm-hmm. But true counseling comes with care on both ends. Mm-hmm. And it could look at like 100 different ways of care. And we really care about our clients' well-being. And I think that, yeah, I just think there's that misconception that, you know, once I leave this office, you know, they have all their other clients. And yes, like, mm-hmm. but we do think about, you know, I hope at home everything's going good or that thing they wanted to work on this week is working out. Mm-hmm. But we also are human and we really need to protect and create those boundaries from work. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it would completely override us, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not that we don't care because we care so heavily. We have to set such strong boundaries with ourselves to maintain our own outside life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that was a huge challenge for me in practicum. So I want to give a little background on like what my clinical experience looked like. So I started practicum, which is like our very first clinical experience. I started it about 10 days after my dad had died, and he died of an overdose. He struggled with addiction, and I was at a men's inpatient addiction facility. And I talked to my teacher, and she's like, maybe take a break. And I'm like, no, I'm going to do this. I went and bought a bunch of books. I was like, I'm going to be the best counselor ever. Yeah. Like, he doesn't get to do that to me. Mm-hmm. And I went, and my very first day, I walked in. And I knew the first client that I saw, and I was like, ah, panic. Oh, my mm-hmm. God, the universe is telling me no. And then I had, like, a negative experience just, like, in life at that time. And then the next week, Hurricane Ida hit, And my mother-in-law's house got flooded and we didn't have power and we were out of school for 3 weeks and it was just chaos. And I was like, you know, the universe is telling me to take a minute. Mm-hmm. And so I paused. I finished my classes, but I didn't continue with my clinical experience until the next year. I waited a year. And I went back and started working at the counseling center on campus. And my very first client, I literally, like, somebody came in and was like, how was that? And I just started crying. I was like, that was the best thing I've ever done in my life. And just gratitude crisis.
Yeah.
And so I did 2 semesters at the college, and I loved that. And I had only been working with students, like, 18 to 25, you know, mm-hmm. younger students. And I went back to that men's addiction facility for my final semester. So I was there and at a private practice. And I was so nervous, and I had never run, like, a big group. And I watched the groups for a week, and then the guy that was leading the groups is like, I'm going to be out next week, so you can do it, right? I'm like, what? No way. Dude, I prepared all weekend. I was so nervous, and it was so amazing. I can't tell you how many times I've left, like, a clinical experience. Like, my first day back officially working as a PLPC, mm-hmm. I left, and I just cried, like, joy, you know, like, so overwhelming how beautiful this process is, how lucky I feel to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And working at the men's addiction facility was one of the best experiences of my life. And I had so much fun. I fell in love with group, like, really, really. Mm-hmm. And it's just been such a weird experience to sit on the other side of the couch and be able to sit with people.
It feels super lucky to be able to be let in into somebody's world like that. Like, you know, you're one of maybe the only person, mm-hmm. and if not, one of very few people in their life that know everything that they're talking about, and that they're trusting you with this to help. And it feels so, like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like you were saying, like, it's so joyful. It's overwhelmingly, like, mm-hmm. you know, leaving, smiling. And even if, especially if someone comes back and say, like, this really worked for me, or, like, you know, just that validation that went against all that imposter syndrome throughout the years of school.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to start finding your peace as a counselor, like, you know, honing in your theories and, you know, just becoming more confident. It just feels so beautiful. I'm just so grateful for this program, this profession. And it's something that, you know, allows me to be an advocate easily in this lifetime. And that's something, you know, we were talking about some goals for this podcast earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, I always was concerned, like, well, once I'm out of school, like, yeah, we have to do continuing education, but is that going to be enough for me to feel like my brain is still up to date? And that's, I think, obviously the main part of this goal is that whether you're a client, whether you're a clinician, any other type of mental health professional, or if you're just interested in learning about mental health, like, I've love to be able to help provide a space for that. And also for my own growth, being able to learn more from other clinicians, from people with their own experiences, doing more research in this platform. That's what gets me excited for this podcast too.
Yeah. I definitely agree. And I think this gives us a really cool opportunity, like, as we do continuing ed, to, like, talk about what we're learning, talk about what we're doing, and, like, really cement that in. And then share those ideas with mm-hmm. people who are interested in it, and, like, with other clinicians. And you saying that made me think about, in, like, a month, I'm going to be in Maryland at a really big conference, the American Group Psychotherapy Association's national conference.
Wow.
Yeah, I just got a scholarship to that, so that was super cool. And it's 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout those 6 days, there's different institutes and seminars and workshops. And so a lot of it's going to be actual experiential group where we get together in small groups and do experiential group.
Wow.
So it's not group therapy, technically, because, you know, but it's very, I've done the Louisiana Group Psychotherapy Society's Institute where we did a full group. It's 8:30 in the morning to 5 o'clock in the afternoon group. Whoa, life-changing.
But that sounds absolutely the best time in the world. And we'll need updates on this podcast on how it goes.
It'll be a whole thing.
Yes. And you will have all your CEUs for the year. So this is just the beginning. And I hope everyone gives Sam just that warm welcome that I feel like everyone was able to give me with this podcast. And we're open for, guests.
Mm-hmm.
One of us will have to go by Samantha or something, so we know who's talking to who. And just be sure to go check out the Instagram, goodyou.therapy. Anything you want to add?
Yeah, no, drop us some comments. Let us know if there's things you want to hear about, you want to hear us talk about, if you enjoy the format. If you have any feedback at all, just let us know, because this is going to be a growing, evolving organism that we're making right now. So beautiful. Thank you.
All right, girl. Our first podcast sign off. We didn't plan for it.
Nope.
Bye.
Bye.
Today's music was written and produced by Tyler O'Brien. You can find him on Instagram at Dreamscape, DREAMSCAPE, and follow his band at Wastelander_band on Instagram.